Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Vegas studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, ready to delight you with my take on a few of the breaking news stories that are going on this week, and a few things that I've watched on the streaming services, sponsored by Suzy Q's, the purveyor of some creative jewelry that you will find nowhere else on the planet. Go to SuzyQs.com to take a look and see what Suzy's got. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, believe it or not. We're almost done with January. So get your orders in on SuzyQs.com and give the one you love something unique that they would never have seen coming or expected and are going to wear it proudly. Let's see. What else? So what is going on? Hopefully, last week you saw the premiere of the 5280 video channel, and we are very proud of our new production studio, even though the studio itself got flooded. We just moved to another room that was available, and construction, reconstruction, repair is moving along quite nicely. I'm in one of the offshoot rooms here at the studio, so I can get you up to date with what's kind of going on, what I've seen in the last few days. I don't want a Tuesday to go by without you getting your Weekend Geek update fixed, because that's what we're here for: entertain, lighten, brighten, and otherwise just kind of make you scratch your head and go, huh? So hopefully we can do that for you. We want to appreciate everyone that listens, like, subscribe to the 5280 Geek channel on YouTube, and of course like and share all of our podcasts, Podbean, whatever, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we are there. Like Visa. So where to begin? So why don't we start with a little movie stuff? I like that idea. The big movie stuff is the King Kong Godzilla frickin' trailer that landed during the weekend, and holy moly, that has to be one of the most outstanding trailers of the year so far. I'm not saying of all time or anything like that, or for monster films, but for what we saw, and there's so many questions, and Skarsgård is in it, and there's just so kind of a quick breakdown, and things that are obvious and like blaringly obvious, of course, we'll cover real quick. So first off, it is present day. Last time we saw Kong was in 1969 is when his last film, timeline-wise, took place. So the big glaring thing, of course, is the size of Kong and Godzilla. So in Kong, he's about 103 feet tall in Skull Island back in 1969. And even in the film, they say that he's, you know, he's still young. He's an adolescent. He has lots of growing left to do. And even when you're looking at, like, the scenery and everything around Skull Island, we can only assume his parents' skulls and bones are there. And they're huge. I mean, you've got people essentially living in the jawbone of, you know, the apes or Kong's relatives or ancestors. I'm not sure how his tribe. I'm not sure how that works. But you are led to some speculation as far as the origins of the bones. But they're huge, is my point. You got people living in it. You got people flying through the eye sockets, okay? I mean, they're by no means small. So when you compare them to where Kong is, you get the urge or feeling, basically, that they're right. Kong's got a little bit of growing left to do. So now, fast forward a few decades. So if that happens in 1969 and we're now current day, we're talking a few decades of Kong growing, developing, getting taller to come up to that roughly 300 some odd feet tall. I want to say Godzilla is close to about 380 feet. Is that 300? I think, actually looking at it, I think Godzilla is 390 feet tall. So, best guess, I think, is what I had read previously, like a couple years ago when Godzilla hit. So, significant growth spurt. I mean, hanging out on Skull Island for all that time, and Lord knows what, how his particular group of monsters grows. I don't know. I mean, but we're talking, you know, what, 60 years, roughly? So, that could lead to why Godzilla and King Kong are now kind of on even playing grounds as far as the height is concerned. So the fight and everything that goes on in the trailer, and there's a lot of speculation as far as what is going on. Is Godzilla flipped on us now that he's like the alpha kaiju and he's willing to just, you know, say man has had their time and I'm tired of protecting you, and you guys are actually tasty because I've nibbled on a few of you. So what is it? It's a very good question. Now, the speculation is kind of broken down to Mecha Godzilla being actually one of the villain monsters in this film. And I am absolutely okay with that. I think having Mecha Godzilla is about time, and I am excited to see just the clash. So the synopsis and the theories that have been floating around since the trailer, Mechagodzilla is being used by, you know, all of the Green Earth people who want to set things right, to basically call out Godzilla. Because let's face it, he did go off like an atom bomb at the end of the film, and he's probably just a wee bit tired. Because I would be. I mean, if you just went off like that, good Lord, I'm up for a nap. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at. So I think the premise of Mechagodzilla, Godzilla, King Kong fight looks to be absolutely spectacular. I think that is an amazing idea. There is still another monster it's in there, but I don't want to spoil anything as far as the trailer is concerned. If you haven't watched the trailer, it's worth the view. You can kind of dissect it on your own terms and see if you kind of come to the same conclusions that I have. And I don't know if it's possible that Mechagodzilla could look so lifelike. I mean, back in the day, yeah, Mechagodzilla, he had like sheet metal and rivets and everything kind of, you know, stuck in place. He looked mechanical. So I don't know if it's a viable plan, solution, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it raises a lot of questions in regards to who is going to be running Godzilla or Mechagodzilla. It really, I don't know. I want it to be, do I want it to be Mechagodzilla? It's an excellent question. And yeah, I do. I really, 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 really do. So we'll see. And Alexander Skarsgård being in it, Millie Bobby Brown, there we go, is returning for this this installment as well. So there we are. It is kind of a continuation of where we left off with the last story. So the one thing that I am happy about is they're not making King Kong the bad guy in this. I am a little annoyed with them if this isn't Mechagodzilla, and they're flipping the script on Godzilla to make him the baddie. That would kind of annoy me. That actually would piss me right the hell off, because that's just lazy writing. You've got all of these monsters at your disposal, and you mean to tell me you're going to flip the script and make Godzilla the bad guy just so you can get this fight in? That's just dumb. The other portion that I'm hoping, and I know Mothra is supposed to also return, which would be kind of cool. I'm down to seeing Mothra's hatching reemergence in the MonsterVerse. But I there's so many options and so many things, creatures, monsters, and things that you can do to bring into have Godzilla fight, that I making him a baddie just would really just other things to fight, other things to kill. So that's just kind of my opinion on that. But I have absolute faith in this. The other portions that you see for, like, the fight, and this has been my issue with, like, the Godzilla films so far, the new ones since the relaunch and all of that, is that they haven't really had, like, a whole throwdown. I mean, they're really, I mean, the first one you get kind of like they're trashing buildings, or you're running, you know, it's more from the poor victimized humans' point of view, and, you know, you don't get to see, like, it's a monster movie without any monsters. So to hopefully finally get, like, a real throwdown. I mean, granted, the last installment was a little bit better than the first one. We did, you know, see more fighting, more demolition, but again, it was focused primarily on the human aspect of the story, and I'm sure that this will be the same. It without the human element, yeah, I know, it's just, you know, a bunch of screaming and yelling and tantrum throwing and all of that from monsters. So you do need a human element to it. So I get that, but I really want to see, I really want to see some monster fights, to be honest with you. I really want to see a throwdown with Kong and Godzilla. That's the billing, you know? That's on the marquee. That's the fight you're there to see. Whether we get it or not, that remains to be seen. But with all, and let's face it, the trailer may not be giving us the whole story, especially when you see just the quick little snippets of, you know, Godzilla lighting up and King Kong floating in on a boat. And I mean, there are a lot of elements missing from the trailer to keep it ambiguous enough that people are excited to see it. And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, to see people excited about a Godzilla film just kind of warms my heart. I mean, it's not like the days of, you know, a dude in a suit stomping around on micro machines. I get it. And to see, you know, these spectacular effects and monsters that they're creating now, they're great. I'm really excited to see this. And to see other people as excited as I am about it, really kind of, okay, and I'm in. I'm glad, and hopefully you'll be able to go and check this out at the theater. The question is, will the theaters be open? Which hopefully they will be. AMC got like a big, huge cash injection. We're seeing some of the theaters starting to function. Even Alamo Drafthouse has opened up back again. So there are signs of life. Will it be enough for the movie? It's a very good question. Is will be out, actually, according to what I'm reading, March 26th. It will also be available on HBO Max. No surprise. So if you don't want to venture out into the real world and run the risk of whatever, then you can stay at home happily. I know we will have a review of that. There's no way in hell we're going to miss this movie and miss a chance of giving you our perspective on meat and potatoes. But that's not until the end of March. So we got some time, and I'm sure we'll probably get one more trailer for this. I would be surprised if we didn't, at least maybe one or two more, one more for sure. Just to kind of allude to more of the plot, because supposedly this is supposed to take us into, like, subterranean Earth, that we're going underground. We're going to see kind of where the monsters are hiding and hibernating and living. And I think we explore more of, like, the tunnels and everything that have linked this ecosystem together. So a kind of journey to the center of the Earth would be fun as well. So I'm totally in love. So, opa. Yes, that's right. I said opa. Moving along to TV side. And this is painful. actually. My take on Batwoman is, wow. I know, so catch you up. Here's what happens. You have a semi-successful first run, first season, and your star steps out. What do? And the question is, you recast. Of course you do. Now, was the show a runaway hit? I don't know. From a comic book standpoint and reading the comic itself for Batwoman, I enjoyed the comic a lot more than I did the show. And of course it's going to happen. And there are some things that do not translate well. Now, the transition from Ruby Rose being the Batwoman to the new Batwoman is just really, it's just a series of awkward events is the best way that I can explain it. Because it's the same thing like happened with Doctor Who when Silvestri came in as the new Doctor. Colin Baker didn't want to do the regeneration scene, so you're kind of left in this weird lurch to continue the story in some kind of manner of reason and success, and that some and the viewers that are going to, you know, come back and watch, and you want to be kind of faithful to your following. Absolutely. Is this what we got? Faithful to the viewers? No. Is this respectful to the viewers? No. What we get is some really just haphazardly thrown together idea of a story. It ended strongly, I thought, last season. Season one ended very well. We had Hush, which I never in a million years thought we would get as a villain. I honestly thought that he would have been off limits in the Batverse, just because of his significance, just because of the story, just because of him becoming Bruce Wayne. So I honestly thought him coming in to begin with was absolutely out of the realm of possibility. But at the end of season one, we get Tommy Elliott, and he's running off with, you know, the sister, Alice, to get his new face. So we start season two, and it's very soap opera-ish. It's the only thing I can think. It just really reads like a bad soap opera, because they take Ruby Rose out of the equation with a plane crash. You heard it, a plane crash. So in this wreckage, we don't find the body. The body is never recovered through the entire first episode, and rightfully so, of course. We have to keep it mysterious. There is a letter that shows up later that, you know, you owe us. So evidently, you know, this was an arranged hit. And to just so the plane goes down, the woman that recovers the bat suit puts it on and just kind of almost instantaneously becomes this crime fighter. And it just I really want to believe in this series, the show. I know we're not getting the Supergirl Batwoman crossover or Superman Batwoman crossover now because of COVID and all of that. And maybe that's for the good of the show right now, because I don't think, even just watching the second episode Sunday is a good idea. I really don't. The strength, I mean, not like the show was extremely powerful to begin with, but it had hopes, and as Ruby Rose probably grew into the character, I could have seen the growth and the potential and just kind of what all was going to be possible. And maybe that still is a possibility, but you have a woman who's living in a van down by the river who fishes the bat suit out of the debris, the wreckage. Forget any bodies out there. Forget anyone who may need help. I found a bat suit, and, you know, right away puts it on, starts fumbling with buttons, and knows how to beat people up. So it just I don't see this show going the distance. I really don't. I mean, especially when you're already looking at like semi-successful shows, Supergirl, which, you know, may have been vanilla and had its ups and downs, but I think had much better storytelling and characterization than Batwoman. So I don't really think I'm going to be watching this much longer either. Especially when I'm looking at, you know, what's coming up. You got The Walking Dead that'll be coming up here in February. And I'm not going to waste my time, to be honest with you. I'll give it maybe two more episodes, maybe if I can stomach through them. But it's just bad. So we'll see, maybe it'll get better. I can't be too judgmental. I'm not here to pass judgments, but from the standpoint of the comic book, like I said, how do you replace your star when they walk out? I think it would have been made more sense to have an established person that was already part of the characters kind of come in, or at least play it up where, you know, she got kidnapped or something. There's a ransom. There could have been any number of ways to do this, but to just, you know, we'll just put her in a plane crash. That's over. As sands through the hourglass, as the bat signal turns on, so are the days of our lives. And then, of course, we get, you know, emotions on rooftops, emotions in hallways, emotions in stairwells, with all the characters. Al is going off on her dad, and, you know, I don't get it, and maybe it's not for me, and I can accept that. But I just, from a comic standpoint, and the use of the characters, just wait for Walking Dead. I have a feeling that's going to be incredibly more entertaining than what we got for Batwoman so far. Sorry. What else is going on? What's going on in the Geekverse? So as we look out the window, this is kind of a big story. I'm really surprised because okay, so Red has continually said that there's never been a good video game movie. And to be honest, I have agreed with her on most of that sentiment. And I know Private Cheeseburger AA Ron kind of agreed with that as well. So Borderlands, which I think, I'm trying to say, it's got a huge cult following. Borderlands, unfortunately, hasn't really had much in the way of games. I mean, it's a successful game, and I love it, but there's not a whole lot of content out there. And I am sad to say that, because I really do enjoy the game. So when Lionsgate picked it up to do a live-action adaptation, I'm a little skeptical. But now today they announced that Kevin Hart is going to be casted as Roland, a former Crimson Lance member and a veteran fighter. So I'm kind of curious to go, all right. And I enjoy Kevin Hart in a lot of things. In fact, his acting in Jumanji is really good. I can't deny that. In fact, Jumanji 2 was such a joy for me to watch, and I love the shit out of that film a whole lot more than I thought I was going to. I honestly thought I was going to go in and just go, oh, good God, what a train wreck. But no, Kevin Hart pulls off an inspired Danny Glover. I mean, I guess it really just kind of worked. Now, to go from a backpack wearing, you know, childlike man child, there we go, that we get in Jumanji, he's kind of going to I don't even know what we're gonna get. Eli Roth, who said in a statement recently, he's thrilled to be working with Kevin. Borderlands is a different kind of role for him, and we're excited and thrilled to see a side of Kevin that we've never seen before. He's going to be an amazing Roland. So who knows what we'll get from the likes of Kevin Hart. Is he capable of being an action hero? And maybe, okay, so maybe action hero is stretching it a little bit. We don't know what we have in store for us. And, I mean, the whole thing about Borderlands, Gearbox has meticulously crafted a lot of the story, the interaction, and just everything that has gone into the lore of the game. The vaults, the vault hunters, the corporations. So, and it's been a while since I've even played the game myself. I started it. It was a quest to complete it, and then I got distracted. You know, other shiny things got in the way, and that kind of killed my quest of completing Borderlands. And maybe I will revisit it, especially with the movie on the way, because I do want to kind of have a comparison from the game to the film, just for the sake. Is it, how loyal are they going to be to the characters, and what all is going to kind of come out of this? So who's to say? And of course, Kevin Hart is already joining, in my opinion, one of the most talented and sexy actresses, Cate Blanchett, who I'm just absolutely in love with. I don't know why I didn't notice her sooner, to be honest with you, because even in Thor with Ragnarok, just kind of sealed the deal, maybe, I don't know, or Ocean's 8, when she, you know, showed up in that crew. I mean, even when I was, I think it was earlier, was it earlier in the month, the Curious Case of Benjamin Button came on, and I just totally got hooked in on watching that again. So I don't know, Cate Blanchett just kind of, you know, is just sexy. So to see her in there, and I guess her character, I think if I remember correctly, is Lilith. There could be some decent chemistry, and I don't know how Kevin Hart's going to handle, and maybe they're going to kind of ham up the character for Kevin Hart to begin with. But it's really difficult to say. Of course, so early into what's going on, Kevin Hart's has had a spectacular career. You can't deny that, especially with, you know, his stand up. Jumanji and his other films that he's done. I haven't watched like all of them. I did see the one where he is the caregiver to Bryan Cranston, which I absolutely loved that film. And it was a tearjerker. I'm not going to lie to you. So, moving along. In streaming news, the Vision, WandaVision, I don't even know how to categorize this right now. Because we just get a lot of, I don't want to say fluff, but things finally did elevate for episode 3. We do see the birth of children. We also see one of the inhabitants, co-dwellers, townsfolk, get launched out the dome, which I think it was by Scarlet Witch, honestly. So I don't know if Scarlet Witch is having issues, if someone has kind of put her somewhere safe. Obviously, this is S.W.O.R.D. because of the medallions that everyone's wearing, and S.W.O.R.D. is, I don't know why S.W.O.R.D. would be involved, because S.W.O.R.D. is supposed to be involved with more interplanetary issues and space, and it's an offshoot from S.H.I.E.L.D. So how S.W.O.R.D.'s involved is very curious. Of course, everyone is still leaning towards Mephisto and that angle. I unfortunately am going to probably have to abandon my hopes that this is the Mojoverse, especially with what we saw in the final few moments of episode 3, which makes me sad because I really wanted to see Mojo. I really did. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to see the spineless ones, damn it, and just have them wreak holy hell on the Avengers. But I'm sure they're saving that for X-Men or something else. Or they probably haven't even thought about it, to be honest with you. I'm sure that is not their first go-to, especially when you're dealing with the Marvel Universe and there's so many different characters out there that could be more of a menacing threat than Mojo, and especially when he's going for ratings, because there are bigger fish out there to fry. But the questions that now remain is, who really is in charge? Is it Wanda? Is it a mixture of her and S.W.O.R.D.? Is it something else? Because we do continue to get these hints with Hydra in the commercials that are kind of filling in. And, of course, we get a nice, very Brady-ish feel for this week's episode. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And it's Brady-tastic. But, again, I'm kind of at my point where I'm like, all right, I'm fine with the tongue in cheek. I'm fine at the nostalgia, but I'm ready. I'm ready, guys. Let's lay this out there. Episode 4 is the halfway point, so my expectations have now kind of jumped up there to expecting more. I'm ready. I think the stage has been properly set at this point, and everybody is ready to move on. Give us a story. Give us something more than cheeky kind of, things of the day, the laugh track, the colorization. And I know it's all supposed to mean something, and I have a few ideas of what I think it is, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I have my own thoughts and hopes, and I will actually have, if episode 4 goes the way that I'm hoping and thinking it will, I will have a better understanding and grasp on what that looks like. And if I'm right, then I'll tell you. I'll wait for episode 4 to air to give you my hits or misses on the theory of what WandaVision thus far is, or what I got brewing. I'm hoping that we do get Wonder Man. I really am. But I don't think so now. I don't know. Like I said, there's some stuff going on, and I know I'm being ambiguous as hell, and you're probably all just like, just spit it out. But I promise no spoilers, so no spoilers, because I may be right, and then that is just going to ruin it for you, and I don't want to do that. But I think episode 4 is just going to basically open this thing up, and God, I hope so, because I can only take so much kind of funny nonsense, and it is kind of borderlining on the nonsense. I mean, we are starting to slowly slide into the seriousness, but it just the overacting, just everything that's gone on this far. Yeah, okay, thanks guys. I'm ready to step forward. Give us the rest of the story. What else? Oh, so this week's kind of my take is I finally made it through one of the Netflix shows that I had in my queue, my list to watch. I guess they got rid of queues a long time ago, sorry. And that is The History of Swearing. And my take on it is, well, here it goes. And I love a litany of, rant laced with colorful metaphors just as much as the next guy. And this show absolutely solidifies my thoughts on that, because not only does it feel good, but it's good for you. There are some spectacular history here. And to see that they are building on the history of the words, is encouraging and absolutely entertaining in how it's delivered. It's a comedic take on a somewhat sensitive but yet silly connotation of it's just words, and it's how we use the words and the history of words. And of course, they open up with the granddaddy of them all with fuck. And let's face it, if there's an abuser of the word fuck, it's me. I fall back on that word probably more times than I probably should. But again, even in the show, they kind of go off on how valuable, and that's right, valuable the word fuck is. And just how versatile. They do give you the history of the word. They walk you through the different eras since the word's birth, and to present day. So it is a rather, it is so unique and so fun to watch that I've already watched it twice, because the first time I was laughing, I was enjoying it, and I didn't pay attention. I was so just taken in by what was going on that I really wasn't paying attention to the history. So, because it was just great. So I had to watch it a second time so I could actually absorb some facts, some history of the words. There's only like 4 episodes. Yeah, because they do fuck. They do bitch, pussy, cock, dick, and shit. Yes, those are the 4 words. They left out asshole, which I don't know. I mean, maybe asshole isn't a curse word much anymore. I mean, and shit's kind of phasing its way out. I mean, damn is in there. Damn is in there. Yes. Dick, damn. Yeah, damn's in there too. But they do kind of go like, of course, fuck being like the big one. And then they go through like the severity down. So you see kind of how some of the swear words, their origins, and how they have ran their race, how their lifespan, basically, is what I can see. And it's interesting, because the next one, of course, to kind of just not really even be considered a curse word really anymore is shit. And that's kind of how we get to the final episode for the series, and it is absolutely a hit in my book. Nicolas Cage is just is Nicolas Cage. And I absolutely love him. He's hard to kind of take with the wig and the beard, just from the standpoint that it you know it's him, but it just looks a little off. In fact, as I was sitting there kind of watching Cage do this, it really reminded me of like James Lipton, you know, from the Actors Studio, where all that's missing is just the glasses. It's just like, it's so set in such a serious and posh kind of den, and you know, you're not expecting what you get, and that's, I think, the sell on this. That's what makes this such a resounding hit for me, because it is absolutely creative, it is absolutely informative, and it is absolutely entertaining. I can't give it enough praises, because it is so well crafted. Whoever put this together really, really had a vision, and they followed through. Now, if you are offended by language and expanding one's mind on certain subjects, then this may not be for you. And I can understand that. I get it. Not everything is for everyone. And that's fine. I mean, I get that. But some people I know, like, I'm kind of like 50-50 when it comes to Sarah Silverman. Sometimes I dig her comedy. Sometimes I'm just like absolutely like, but she's in there. Nikki Glaser is in there. Of course, Nick Offerman can do no wrong in my eyes. That man is a fucking gem and should just continue to narrate my life. I would really be happy. In fact, I'm going to send Nick a message after this asking if he will narrate my life, at least my autobiography. But he's he's in it as well, and there's just I mean, they're not like, I wouldn't say A-listers, but I mean they're recognizable, but they're not like, you know, the creme de la creme when it comes to, you know, comics that are out there. But for what you get, for what is delivered, for all its content and everything else, it is by far worth, I mean, even the episodes themselves are, I think, barely 30 minutes. So, I mean, it's a quick hit and run, background noise, if anything, or if you're just looking to kind of just get a chuckle, expand your knowledge. I'm not sure any of these questions would ever end up on a pub quiz or trivia night, but You never know. That's just it. You never know, damn it. Let's face it, there were some words, like I said, asshole. Asshole is not on there. And I don't know, is asshole a curse word? I mean, I don't think you can say it on TV, can you? As some bitch? I mean, as much as I love Smokey and the Bandit and Jackie Gleason's really spectacular delivery of the word some bitch, I'm sure there's other words out there that they could have covered, because I even do tiptoe around like other cultures, things that people in cultures say to offend others. So I'm sure that they could even do like across the board, you know, what one person says here doesn't translate to the same there. Like, it's so mild mannered that it doesn't even register. So hopefully we will see a revisit, an extension, more episodes to follow, perhaps. Because I want more. I really do. And I just want to see Nicolas Cage in a hairpiece. Because he is absolutely, I don't want to say he's probably the big sell for this show, for this series. But I have to admit that in all his, and he tries, his delivery, I don't want to say is completely like deadpan and just kind of flat, but he definitely approaches it with his usual, you know, je ne sais quoi, his kind of just the way Nicolas Cage talks. And I can honestly say that if you were to sit down and have an actual conversation with Nick Cage, this is what it would be like. That this is how he would sound and speak and just kind of carry himself in a actual conversation. So it really feels spectacular. I can't hype this show up, series up enough, just from the standpoint of pure enjoyment. And you're not losing really much of anything at all. And if anything, you learn to appreciate the inner workings of the human psyche and the you know, history of words. Who knew? Science. No, that's wrong. Wrong. Just words. English, motherfucker. And what else? I think that's kind of it. The rumor mill is hard at work right now. One of the big rumors, of course, is the live action series for Harry Potter, and that is strictly a rumor at this time. There is, and maybe it's just because no one has signed it, but there's nothing going on. Nobody's working on anything. No one signed any contracts. And I think this is just kind of hopeful, kind of, you know, shooting in the sky and just kind of seeing what you hit, because nothing has been signed. Nothing is going forward. And I'm kind of okay with that, because I think it's just been too long. And I don't even know where you would focus in on the Harry Potter lore. I mean, why don't we get Fantastic Beasts done and that kind of series behind us before we start looking towards, you know, bringing back the Harry Potter kids? Why don't we finish what we're working on and go from there? What else? Walking Dead is, I mentioned earlier, also working on, they've kind of leaked a few things as far as what Daryl was doing and his hunt for Rick, which we will kind of get a peek at in the next and final season, which I will actually be doing a weekly write-up on. I'm going to go back and do a weekly write-up on The Walking Dead. It was one of the first things I blogged about back in the day, and I think it's only fitting that I close out The Walking Dead that way. That's how I started, and with Walking Dead's beginning and the comparisons, and I think it's due. I haven't written for a while and reviews, and I'm kind of excited to do The Walking Dead, so you can look forward to that in February. Next week, we will be at the Outworld Brewery. The three of us, PJ, Wakeman and myself will be there doing a spotlight interview with the owners and brewmaster for Outworld Brewery, in addition to giving you a tour and a slight tasting of some of their hits beers. I'm excited about it, and to sit down to actually do a face-to-face interview has just been so long in coming. I'm excited to finally get out and get back to work and deliver some spotlights to you guys, because we've got more coming. If you haven't already, please go over to the 5280 Geek YouTube page, subscribe so you don't miss anything as we continue to expand on that platform, and watch last week's podcast with the team. And of course, as always, still available on any podcast platform out there that you listen to. Like, share, subscribe. Thank you so much for listening in, and I will see you next week. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.